This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. فما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Yesterday we spoke about three different things. Today we look at the two other elements, and the first of that is money. And the reason money is important is because money makes the world go round, right? Things happen in this world because of money, either the desire of money or having the money. Now, as I mentioned to you, the economic system at the time of Rasulullah was very, very similar to the economic system that exists in the world today. It was a free market economy. It was not controlled by anybody. It was, Makkah as a city was ruled by billionaires, ruled by the wealthy people. Few of them used to gather in a place called Nadwa, and they would, whatever they needed to decide, they would decide, and that would be implemented. They didn't have a chief or a sultan or a sheikh or a king or somebody. They didn't have that. It was a bunch of businessmen who ruled the town. And they traded across, they actually had a global international trade because they traded between the Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire. These were the days before the nation states. But if we interpret that in terms of nation states, we are looking at trade with at least, in today's time, maybe 20, 30 different countries. So they had a multinational trading organization. They were not small businessmen, they were not small shoppers. These were big multinational businessmen who dealt in billions of dollars in today's money. People like Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, Abu Lahab, right? And you had others who were,
Sufyan.
Abu Sufyan, yes. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu's actual amount of money which he left behind, his tarka, when he passed away, we have the actual numbers. And with those, according to those numbers, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was at least 10 times more wealthy than Elon Musk. And his money, his wealth was real wealth, was gold.
Halal.
And gold. It was not the share on the share market. One day it goes up, one day it comes down. No, this is actual wealth. Right? So these are big people. Now, if you look at them today, we have to understand, Islam is very much in favor of business. Rasulullah in one hadith, and the takhrij of the hadith, some people said it is a bit daif and so on, but it doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah, the meaning of it is correct, which is, he said that 9 parts of barakah is in business and 1 part is in employment. So he encouraged business. He himself was a businessman, and he was also employed for some time by Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra, Ummuna radiallahu anha, and as her agent to trade. So he knew both sides of the coin. So Islam is stands for what today we call a free market economy. It's not a regulated economy. Prices are not set. There is an incident in the Seerah in Medina. At one point there was some shortage, and the Sahaba came to Rasulullah. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, please regulate the market. Right? Set prices." Rasulullah said, "No, I will not regulate what Allah has not regulated. I will not regulate. You regulate yourselves." So alhamdulillah, we know that free market is there. Now, however, there are some basic principles. First of all, in Islam, the business must not only be in halal things, but it must be morally defensible. Meaning that, for example, in the time of drought, right, you might say, well, I'm selling
wheat or I'm selling corn. But in a time of drought, I am hoarding it and then I'm selling it for a high price. Even though the commodity you are selling is halal, which is corn, but the way you are doing it has a big problem with it. Because you are now taking advantage of people's hunger and you are jacking up the price. Wallah alam, this is whether it is halal or haram. We don't recommend that. We should not do something like this. So it's morally indefensible, even though the commodity itself is not, you can't say corn is haram, corn is not haram, corn is halal. But the way you are doing that business, that is a matter of doubt, and therefore you should not do it. Therefore we say it's a business which benefits at the cost of society in Islam is haram. Islam clearly, and therefore Islam is categorically prohibited everything which is harmful, which is addictive, which is immoral, and which is subversive. So interest-based banking, selling alcohol and cigarettes and, lottery tickets and all kinds of stuff. Sometimes people say, no, Shaykh, but, I'm selling this alcohol only to non-Muslims. They buy it anyway. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. They buy it anyway or not anyway is not your problem. You don't do that. Right? It is haram for you to do that. Because the beauty of Islam is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something, He prohibited everything around it. He prohibited everything that leads to it. So alcohol is prohibited. Anything addictive or anything which changes the mind, all kinds of drugs are prohibited, which means not only their use, but also manufacturing them, buying them, selling them, storing them, transporting them. All of this is also prohibited. The same principle applies. Pork is prohibited from you cannot eat pork, but you also cannot have a pig farm. You can't have a pig slaughterhouse. You cannot be transporting pigs. You cannot be dealing with pigs. You can't use pigskin handbags and shoes and stuff. Everything to do with that is also prohibited. This is the safety net that Islam puts on it so that you don't go anywhere near it. Right? So this is something very important. And this is one of the reasons why the Quraysh opposed Islam the greatest, because these were business people. And to them it looked like this Islam is going to destroy my business.
Control it.
They come here and control it. So I cannot make the profits I was making. So we cannot, we will not do it. But just think about it, read the history. What actually happened when finally they came to Islam and they started operating under Islamic principles? Did their wealth go up or down?
Up.
It went up in a way they could not even have dreamt of. Even in their best times, they never dreamt of ruling Byzantine and ruling Persia. Allah gave them that to rule. Right? At the most, they dreamt of making money. They didn't think, Abu Sufyan did not think, I'm going to be the king of Persia. No, but Allah made them. He did not make Abu Sufyan, but the people, radiallahu anhu, but the Arabs, they ruled the whole world. The whole known world. Allah gave them that. Why? Because they followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam. They followed the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, in Islam, profit is the pleasure of Allah. It is not return on investment, ROI. Its profit is the pleasure of Allah. Sometimes I say to my in the interfaith workshop, we say we want peace. I said you will never have peace until you have your ROI, return on investment, based on war. Wars happen not because anyone hates anybody. Wars happen because wars make money. The highest return on investment is on weapons of mass destruction. So as long as you are making money out of death, you will have wars. You cannot have peace. So find another ROI, you get peace in 1 minute. That is why Islam has. We want to live in a world where we don't want any moral and ethical considerations. Remove all ethics and morals. My desire, whatever I wish to do, I should be able to do. Halal, haram, no problem. And I must make maximum amount of money. By my making money, who else is hurt? No problem. Somebody dies, bad luck. This is our way today. Inna lillahi wa. Then we say, oh, there is so much of suffering. Of course there will be suffering. How will you not have suffering?
You put salt in the food, you say there is too much of salt. Who put the salt? You put the salt. So there will be more salt. Who told you to put salt? Take out the salt. Don't put so much of salt. Right? So now if you think of the, if you look at the Quraysh's banking system, you see what they did, in my research I discovered this, what they did was they basically took the Roman system of finance, which was almost 1,000 years older than the time of Nabi Sallam. The Romans also had a global trade. They had a world empire, they had a global trade. So they used things like lines of credit, deferred payments, LCs, letters of credit, right? Forward purchasing, interest-based lending, multiple currencies, risk financing, all of their stuff, credit rating. The Romans had all this system. And the Arabs just took over those systems. And a very simple reason. See, if I'm taking a caravan from, basically the caravan meant, as I mentioned yesterday, from Yemen to Sham. And they stopped midway in Makkah because this was home territory and it was time, it was a good place to take some rest, replenish and go forward. And because of that stop, it created a local market in Makkah, which was also beneficial for them. So they made profit in three places, in Yemen, in Makkah, as well as in Sham. And this was very good for them. But if I'm taking a caravan, and they took caravans of thousands of camels, these are massive things, like a moving city. Now, when they took those caravans, if I am taking money to buy things, in those days, what was money was not paper money. Money was gold. So I would have to have camels and camels of gold to carry to buy things. Now, two big problems with that. One is the bulk of it to transport that. Secondly, it's dangerous. Now, I become absolute target for every bandit under every tree. Right? So what am I going to do? I will have to have an army moving with me also. I can't have an army with me because all that comes out of my profit. So my profit goes down the drain. So simplest thing was letters of credit. So I have a banker here, I have a banker there. His bank gives a letter of credit, lend so and so, so many million. I go there, I show the letter, I get the so many millions, and then he gives me a letter, I come here. That's exactly the system that is followed till today. That's why I say sometimes, I was lecturing at a university in Massachusetts, I said to them that if you brought Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, and others today to Wall Street, or if you brought them today to the Federal Reserve, or you brought them today to one of our global banks, believe me, they will not be surprised. The only thing new for them will be the computers.
The machines.
The machines, nothing else. Systems, they know all the systems. They know all the systems. You could take Abu Sufyan and make him the head of Federal Reserve, he would do a fantastic job. He will know everything. You know all about lending and borrowing and interest rates and this and that, everything. They know all the stuff because that was their system. The only thing new is machines, nothing else, right? Now, in that situation, Rasulullah came and he brought a system which is a true system of partnership. He brought a system which underlines a very important thing. And that is, in Islam, money is not a commodity for trade. Please understand this very clearly. Right? In Islam, money is not a commodity for trade. Money is a means of buying something and receiving for selling something. But you cannot take the money itself and do anything with it. That's why interest-based banking is haram. Interest is what? Money on money. And that's haram because money is not a commodity. See the principles of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith in Abi Dawud, whoever lets a person off, meaning somebody borrows money, he is not giving it back, you say, alhamdulillah, no problem, take it, keep it. Because you are in need and so on, I will not put pressure on you, keep it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve his distress on the day of resurrection. Okay, alhamdulillah. But what does that do to my business here? If I am running a bank, right, I give a loan here, he can't return it, no problem, keep it. I give a loan here, he can't, no problem, keep it. my bank is going to shut, right? It is not a business model. But my point is, somebody asked me, Sheikh, this system doesn't work. I said, why? He said, it's not a business model. I said, it's not supposed to be a business model. Money is not a commodity for trade. Money is to be used for two purposes. One is to buy and sell, and two, to help people. You are in need, you ask me, I give you money to help you. Alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah. It's not a trade commodity.
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the hadith in Muslim, whoever waits for one who is in financial difficulty to repay or waives it, gives it away, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will shade him under his shade on the earth, of the earth. See what this underlines and emphasizes. This first and foremost, this underlines our own iman. I must have iman that there is a day of judgment. I must have iman that the shade of the arsh of Allah Jalla Shanu is worth something to look forward to. I need the shade of the arsh of Allah. Yes. If I don't have that iman, how will I give up my money? So, very important to understand that. That is what Islam brought. Fundamental belief in the akhirah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the meaning of which, two parties to a transaction have the option of cancelling it until they part. If they are honest and disclose any defects, their transaction will be blessed. And if they lie and conceal the defects, the blessings will be erased. That is the reason why the famous saying of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, it is not permissible for a trader in the market of Madina to trade unless he learns about trade, the principles of trade in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. He said, the person, if a Muslim wants to have a business, he must first learn the usul of business before he goes into business. Just ask us, we all want to have startups and so on and so on and so forth. We have all kinds of questions about sourcing of funds and whatnot, right? Recruitment procedures and company policies. Do we also say, what are the principles of Islam that I have to apply here? Do we do that? I'm not talking about simply creating a musalla in your office. No. Principles of business. We need to think like this. Principles of business. There are so many stories of the Sahaba who came and the way they did business. In 4 Hijri, there were two of the Sahaba, 4 Hijri, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Medina. Two Sahaba came on a trading ship to India, to a place called Kodangallur, which is near Cochin, down south. And that was the kingdom of the Kulashekara Perumal dynasty. So they came there, they landed, thought. They met the king called them, they met the king. They said, the king said, who are you, what are you? They said, we have come from Arabia, we have come to trade. And can we, you allow us? He said, yes, of course, welcome, come and trade. And the king said, we have a question. He said, we saw the moon splitting. He said, so many months back, we saw the moon in 2 parts. Then it joined. He said, we don't know what this is. And he said, I asked my Jyotishis, my astrologers, and my astrologer said that this happened because of in their language, Rishi Muni, meaning a holy man, the messenger of Allah, who came in the land of the date palms. So you have come from this land, do you know about this? They said, yes, this is Shakul Khamar, which our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this mu'jiza and he caused this to happen. The king gave them place to build a masjid. Fourth Hijri. That masjid is there till today. I have prayed in that masjid in Kodangalu.
Come on.
So build the masjid. And then they needed a lamp. So the king gave a lamp from one of their temples. That lamp is there till today. It's a brass lamp. It is there in that masjid. Then they were trading in the market. So they had grain. One day it rained, some of the grain got wet. So when people came to buy the grain, they said, no, wait. They took it out, they said, this is wet. So we give you this much discount. People are surprised. They said, what is this? The other traders came, they said, don't do this. You will spoil our market. Who taught you this? This is not the way we do business. So the Sahabi said, but this is the way we do business. Who taught us? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. We don't deceive anybody. We show the defects of the goods. If there is something wrong, we'll tell you. The king was so impressed that he gave his kingdom to his son. He went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He met Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He accepted Islam. He returned on the way. He died in Oman in a place called Salalah. His grave is there. I have seen the grave. I was in Salalah. I went to visit the grave. Ajeeb, eh? Four Hijri. Islam came to India. Four Hijri. How did it come? It did not come by the Sahabi coming and making a big khatira or a big khutbah. There are no Muslims. Who will make khatira to? It came by business. By businessmen doing business according to Islam. No lying, no cheating, no deceiving anybody. Being kind, giving good product, good service, good delivering on time, worthy of your tongue. What my promise? I stand by my promise. There's a beautiful story from the market of Madina. A man came from the Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe. He came to the market of Medina to buy something. He came to one of the shopkeepers. They all Sahaba. This is during the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came to one of the shops and he asked the man for the thing. So the Sahabi said to him, look, I have this. This is the price. The Banu Nadir man, he said, yeah, sure, this is good price. I will take it. He said, now do me a favor. Don't buy from here. Go to that shop in the corner there. That man in the shop, he has the same product, same price. Go buy from him. So this customer says, this is a strange thing. I come to you to buy. You sell me finished, right? Why are you sending me to the other man is your competitor because the chef. He said, no, just go buy. He said, go buy from him because, he said, I have been watching him. Today, he did not get any customers. Now we are going to close the market. In the night they close the market. So now we are almost at closing time. This man, the whole day has passed. He has got no customers. Go buy from him. He will get some money. He will take some money home. Otherwise, he will go home empty. Empty-handed. So this man from Banu Nadir, he went there. He bought the thing. He came back. When he came back here to the Sahabi, the Sahabi had some more customers. So he's waiting. The Sahabi saw him. When the customers finished, he called him. He said, what happened? You didn't get the thing? He said, no, I got it. He said, then why are you here? He said, because I want something from you.
From me?
What? He said, I want from you that which made you send me there.
The deed.
I want from you the thing which made you send me there.
He said, that is Islam. He said, yes. I want your Islam.
He said, why are you asking me? He said, because the man you sent me to is a man from my tribe. That is a Jewish man you sent me to.
You are a Muslim. You could have sold me the same thing you sent me to a Jewish shopkeeper, because you are concerned and worried the man did not get any business today. He will go home empty-handed. I don't want him to go home empty-handed. What makes you do that? He said, that is what I want. The material I got, what is in your heart, give me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hey? Trade. Business. Money. So the principle and concept of money in Islam is earn and spend halal. Yeah, or otherwise, you know the consequences. Money lending is not a business. Money is not a commodity. It is not there to be lent. It is to be lent only for helping people. Nothing else. Venture capital, shareholding, profit sharing, all of this is jais. No problem. You want to borrow money from me to start a business, I will not lend you the money, but I will buy equity in your business. Give me 10% of your business. Give me 30% of your business. I will fund you. No problem. But now I am a shareholder in your business. Your business goes up or down, I am also part of the shareholding. If you make a loss, I make a loss. If you make a profit, I make a profit. See the beauty of this system. What happens, the difference between, you might say, well, you know, at the end of the day, a man comes to you, he says, I want $1 million. So you have an option, I'm giving you $1 million at 10%. Money lending. In Islam, this is haram. Or I say, okay, I will give you $1 million, give me 10% of your business. Right? So I'm not lending, I'm giving you the money, but I'm buying 10% equity. So you might say, end of the day, you're given $1 million, what's the difference? Huge difference. Because the first thing, the money lending part of it, whether you live or you die or you survive or you go on the street is no business of mine. I don't care. I must have my interest payment on time. Otherwise, I foreclose, I throw you out of your house, I throw you out of your business, I take over whatever you have. Yes? In Islam, this is haram. In Islam, you become a shareholder in the welfare of that person. So now when I'm giving you the money and I'm getting 10% of your stock, I'm interested in your success. Because otherwise I will also lose. I don't want to lose. So what happens now? Now I take interest in your business. So now Mustafa, I've given him $1 million. So Mustafa tells me, Akhil Yavar, today I have a very urgent thing. I want to take my wife. She has to go somewhere or some whatever domestic thing. There's nobody here. No problem. I'll sit in your shop. You go, take care of whatever you need to do. I know your business. I'm a shareholder in the business. I will sit here. I will take care of it. There is a sense of mutual caring, and it brings hearts together. It builds community. Whereas money lending destroys communities. We are seeing it here in this country. This country is the finest example to see the evil of money lending. Because this whole country is based on the haram system of money lending. We need to change that. Right? We need to change that. So venture capital, shareholding, profit sharing, all of this is fine, alhamdulillah. That is why charity is an investment. It's not a cost. That's why I say to people, don't use the word sacrifice with regard to Islam. You know, sometimes we say even in Urdu, deen ke liye qurbani kijiye. Deen ke liye qurbani karna namumkin hai. Yeah, let me explain this concept to you. It is impossible to do a sacrifice for the deen. Impossible. Cannot be done. You know why? What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is if I do something and I get no return. That is sacrifice. Right? When you have tandoori chicken, the chicken made sacrifice for you. The chicken gave its life, got nothing. You enjoy your chicken. There is no other sacrifice. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. 10 times, you bring one good deed, you bring one dinar, one dirham, 1 minute of work, 1 hour of work, whatever you do for the sake of Islam, Allah said, I will give you 10 times that. 1000% is the minimum that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu gives. Allah does not give less than 1,000%. Can you just think about this? You say, Allah, I want only 100%. No, no, no. 1,000%. You like it or not, 1,000%. Minimum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it a sacrifice? What sacrifice? Whatever I spend, minimum I will get is 10 times that. Rabia Basriya radhiyallahu anha, amazing story. Yeah? She was one day knock on her door. She opened the door, a man came, he said, I am the slave of so-and-so, and I have my master sent this. So she opened the packet. There were 9 loaves of bread, 9 hoops. She took it, she told him, take this back. This is not for me. So the man said, SubhanAllah, this is, my master sent this for you. He told me to give it to you. He said, no. Not mine. He said, why do you say that? She said, because I gave 1 khubs this morning to somebody who asked to asile, who came here, who was hungry, I gave him 1. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised 10. This is only 9. Not mine. Take it away. These are the people of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. I mean, there is no interpret. Allah said, Falahu ashru amthaliya, I will not accept less than ashara. My Rabb said, ashara, I will not take less than ashara. She shut the door. After a few minutes, again knock. Same man standing there. He says to her, Ya Sayyida, my mistake. I was hungry, I ate 1 loaf. And I thought to myself, she does not know how many my master sent. So what does it matter whether it's 9 or 10? She does not know that she's expecting 10. So I ate 1. May Allah have mercy on me. Please ask forgiveness for, I seek your forgiveness. Ask forgiveness for me. I felt hungry. He said, Mama, no problem. Eat as much as you want. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give us this yaqeen. Take away all the needless anxiety from our hearts. What will happen? What will happen is only when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my point I'm saying is that this is the thing we have to worry about. Our hearts must be filled with only that concern, which is, when I meet my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, will I meet him in a way where he is pleased with me or not? May Allah grant that our last day, like the man made the dua, O Allah, make my last day my best day when I meet you, and the last of my actions, the best of my actions. Alhamdulillah, we ask, make this dua for us and for all of us and all our families, inshallah. Now, see how the Sahaba dealt with this. I mentioned to you the big businesses, these big financiers, big bankers like Al-Abbas and others, radiallahu anhu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited interest, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his Khutbatul Wada, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has prohibited interest. All the interest that you are owed by people, write it off, which means my account's receivable. As far as if I'm a banker, my account's receivable. You just cleaned it. Ya Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah, my book is now blank. Alhamdulillah. Billions of dollars worth of my account receivables become zero. Didn't they complain? Did any of the Sahaba say, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is one Allah, you are wiping out my business? Please. Samayana wa ta'ala. Gone. Similarly, I mentioned to you the whole story, I won't go into the details, the whole story of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the hurmat of khabar. It was a business in Medina. Gone. Says, Alhamdulillah. No problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of futuhat for them in the 2 biggest and oldest empires in history. The Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, were 2,000 years. Ended with the conquest
by Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. And the Persian Empire, the Sasanian Empire, finished with the Battle of Qadisiyah. This is the result. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sunnah. We have to stand up and say, I am ready to obey and take the first step. Then the help of Allah comes. It doesn't come before that. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the temptation, when the woman was trying to seduce him, he got up and ran. Then the door opened. The door did not, Yusuf alayhi salam did not turn around and say, is the door open or not? Let me check that first. No. He got up and ran, then the door opened. Take the first step. The Ashab al-Kahf, when they had the fitrah and they had the test of deen, the young men, they did not say, no, first let us find, no. They said, no, we will not give up our deen. We will not give up we will not give up obeying Allah. So they left the town. The moment they left the town, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them, put them in the, showed them the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them, and he put them to sleep, and he took care of them 309 years, and all of that. You take the first step, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the rest. But we have to show to Allah, Ya Allah, I am ready. Alhamdulillah, I take the first step. You know, there's Barbara Winters, one of my favorite writers. She says this thing about faith. She says, when you reach the end of the light of all that you know. He said, when you reach the end of the light of all that you know, and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown. Faith is to know. She's not saying believe. Faith is to know. Yaqeen. Faith is to know that one of two things will happen. There will be something firm to stand on, or you will be taught how to fly. There will be something firm to stand on, or you will be taught how to fly. That is faith. So now, therefore, to come to the closure of this, the question, therefore, when we look at the issue of money, is to ask, I need to ask myself this question and say, is my income halal or is it haram or is it doubtful? Three options. Either it is halal or it is haram, or I'm doing things which I'm not sure. And as I said, if it is halal, alhamdulillah, you know for sure, please go ahead, do it, no problem. If it is haram, stop right away. If it is doubtful, alhamdulillah, you have ulama, go ask the sheikh. Sheikh, this is what I'm doing, shall I do, shall I not do, what is it? Then listen to him. Right? Go to the people of knowledge, ask them, they will tell you. But don't play around in the dark with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't do that. Especially because I say this to myself and I say this to anybody who asks me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "In قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is my Rabb who expands your provision or restricts it, but most people don't know. Alhamdulillah, we know because Allah told us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to question you and me on the quantum, on the quantity of what we earned. Allah will not, the question on the day of judgment is not, Ya Mustafa, why did you not earn $10 million? No. The question is, Ya Mustafa, how did you earn whatever you earned? Whether it was 10 million, 10 trillion, or whether it was $10, how did you earn it? Means halal or haram. Not quantum. Quantum Allah fixed. And Allah gave us the choice, you want it through this door or you want it through that door. What is in the room is the same, it will not change. Whether you come through this door or you come through that door, the thing here is the same. But if you come through this door, you will get what is in the room, plus you will get ajr. But if you come through that door, you will still get what is in the room, but you will get azab. Now, my question to myself and you is, when I know I will get what is in the room, and when I know that the door to use is that door, why should I go to the other door? No. The only way I will go to the other door is if I have a problem, a facade with my iman. Then Shaitan will come and say, no, 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 Sheikh, forget all this. This is America, right? This is, Sheikh Mirza is talking about 7th century, forget this 21st century. Yeah? You say, Alhamdulillah, no problem, you can say whatever you want, but you know, this is dunya. No, 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 no. There is no 7th century, 21st century, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is not, Allah is the one who created time. So what I want you to do, think about this and say, with regard to my earning and with regard to my spending, what is the changes that I should make? What is it I should start doing? What is it I should stop doing? And Alhamdulillah, what if it is good, what should I continue to do? Bismillah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair.